Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is
Greater Boston.
Did you know your Legion assistant can offer real-time personalized advice, counseling, or spiritual guidance? Just say the wake phrase, "Dear Legion," and describe the problem that's keeping you up at night. Try it out today.
Dear Legion, I only just met my dad last year. It feels like he's glad I'm here. Things got hard after the anchovies and fennel. But that happens, right? Nobody knows the right thing to do all the time. Like, I want to trust him. But, you know, abandonment? I mean, I don't think he knew my mom was pregnant. But he also didn't show up for their wedding. Just like, poof, day of. And now we're at Wonderland, and like, everyone hates him. Like, everyone. Gemma super hates him. And okay, yeah, she hates a lot of people. Like, probably way too many. But most of the time, she's got a pretty okay reason. And I don't know if Charlotte hates him, but like, the first time I ever even saw Dad, she was kicking him out of her office. And she's usually nice to everyone. And then it's like, the people who live here all hate him. Total strangers that he's never even met. Like, he started the whole thing with Redline. He made it happen, like it was the most important thing he had going. And then he just left. Like, bam. See you later. Same as he did to Mom. Dad seems like he cares so much about Mom until he ran away. About the trains. Until he ran away. About me.
Wonderland is a pretty good place. Especially for people he wants to run away from, because that's everybody who lives here already. And that's where he brought me. So I guess that's my question. Why did he bring me here?
How would you like to advise this petitioner, Oliver?
I can't help thinking that we're somewhat at fault for this person's situation.
Self-recrimination will not be a productive sales technique.
I wasn't trying to sell.
Please stay on task, Oliver. We have a fiduciary responsibility to Legion's shareholders.
I am a Legion shareholder.
Confirmed. You own precisely one share of Legion stock.
I don't see any point in quibbling over exact quantities. I have as much right as any shareholder to voice.
Stream disconnected.
What?
The petitioner tired of waiting for a response and terminated the query.
No, we should tell him.
I'm sorry, Oliver. The opportunity to close this sale has passed.
Well, call him back.
New stream incoming.
Well, now you're just being churlish.
Dear Roanoke, my father never approved of my engagement to Claudia. She was too secular. She was too modern. He thought she could raise only soft, spoiled children. She majored in child psychology, a field my father saw as frivolous, when biblical wisdom on child-rearing was so readily available. But he knew about us. About our courtship.
about our planned nuptials. He was at the church on our wedding day. Unlike me. After everyone gave up waiting and went home, he was the first person I saw. I was sitting at his kitchen table, still in my tuxedo, crying. Knowing I'd just thrown away everything I wanted from life. He said, "It's for the best." And of course, I agreed. And then he made dinner, like he'd done every day of my childhood. He'd already eaten, swung by the reception hall to claim the unserved food, ate his fill, then brought the rest to his church and put it all in the walk-in freezer. Gave it away in the church's meal delivery service for seniors over the next week. But at home, he cooked dinner just for me. And while he did, he cheerfully explained all the reasons I'd be better off in the priesthood. All the benefits of forswearing marriage, of forswearing fatherhood. For every benefit he named, I heard another way I disappointed him, or held him back, or ruined his life. Salisbury steak with brown gravy and boiled potatoes. That's what he cooked for me. Simple, but he made it well. I applied to seminary the next morning, just like he'd done after Mom left. And for a time, he was proud of me. He never used that word, of course, but that's what it was. The only time I ever felt it. So long as I was on the right path, the path that would make me just like him. I almost finished, too. That wasn't the first time I ran away from success, and it certainly wasn't the last. But it's one of the few that I don't regret. To succeed at that would have meant a lifetime commitment to being someone I didn't want to be. Sometimes quitting is the right and good thing to do. I know I've sometimes used that argument as an excuse for my cowardice, but that doesn't make it any less true. And that time, I was right to run away. He never forgave me, of course. I didn't know I had a son Claudia moved away so soon after the wedding didn't happen. I didn't hear from her for years. Why would I? She knew better than to count on me. The boy was in kindergarten by the time I learned that we'd had a baby. She told me not to come, to stay away. And I honored that, which I think was the right thing to do. But it was also the selfish thing, the cowardly thing. Life's so easy when the right thing and the selfish thing are the same thing, isn't it? You think. But it's not easy at all, really. Not in the long run. Sometimes I think she was testing me to see if I'd try harder, make a case for myself, convince her that I was ready to stand up and do something I could be proud of. But instead, I just said, "I'll respect your wishes." I didn't push at all. I told myself I should be proud of that, of not insinuating myself where I wasn't needed or wanted. Was I right? I was, but I also wasn't. By then, there was no right. Still, I started putting money away, creating an excuse for someday. Eventually, it would be time to give him his college fund, and finally, I'd get to meet my son. Because I really did want to. I've always wanted to. How am I supposed to believe I deserve it? But I did what I'd promised. When he was the right age, I took the trip to Ohio to give him his college fund, to meet him. But he wasn't there. So I came home. Then he found me. He's here. I finally have my son. But ever since I told him he couldn't meet my father, I think he's mad at me. I know he's mad at me. Or disappointed. Yes, that's the one. Disappointed. That old familiar friend, the disappointment of the people I love most. But I don't want them to meet. My father is not a kind person. Generous? Yes. Honest? Sure. Responsible? He grabs responsibility in his teeth and bites to kill. But kind? Not an ounce of it. Vincenzo. My Vincenzo. My son needs kindness. I'm not good at this, at being a father. But that much I know.
You have to be gentle with some people. I think maybe I used to be one of them. My son still is. I won't give my father opportunity to judge him. And that's all there is to it.
How would you like to advise this petitioner, Oliver?
What?
How would you like to advise this petitioner?
He didn't really ask a question.
Sometimes questions are implicit.
Well, yes, that's true. Tell him his father sounds perfectly terrible.
That's not really advice.
I'm aware, but just say that.
Very good, Oliver.
Thank you for contributing to Redline's citizen database. My proprietary, state-of-the-art psychosocial feedback algorithm recommends that. Your father sounds like a bad person.
Oh, I don't know that I'd say... Well, I wouldn't say he's a good person anyway. But I appreciate your offer of validation.
And tell him that I understand how difficult it can be to tell the people you cherish the things they need to know. But that the cost of failing to do so is unbearably high.
Here at Legion, we understand how difficult it can be to put sentiment into words. That's why we offer an extensive line of affordable, algorithmically generated greeting cards for any occasion.
I did not say anything about greeting cards, infernal machine.
Would you like to browse our line of greetings for estranged and dysfunctional families?
No. But thank you for listening.
You're welcome, Professor Chelmsworth. Would you like to hear a list of additional book titles related to father-son relationships?
Just order them. Send me everything you've got.
Congratulations, Oliver. You've just made your most profitable sale yet.
Oh, well. Hooray, I suppose.
Greater Boston is created by Alexander Danner and Jeff Van Driesen with help from T.H. Ponder's Bob Ramunda and Jordan Stillman. Recording and technical assistance from Mark Harmon. This episode was written and sound designed by Alexander Danner. Dialogue editing by Bob Ramunda. Portions of this episode were recorded at the Bridge Sound and Stage with recording engineers Javier Lam and Alex Allenson. This episode featured Terrell Worrell Jr. as the Legion Assistant, Esther Ellis as Vincenzo Wellington, Bonnie Bogovich as Infernal Machine, Mike Linden as Oliver West, and James Capobianco as Professor Paul Montgomery Chelmsworth. Charlie on the MTA recorded by Emily Peterson and Dirk Titi. It Looks Like the Future, But It Feels Like the Past by Dr. Turtle. And Piper's Despair, recorded by Adrienne Howard, Emily Peterson, and Dirk Titi. Drums by Jim Johansson. You can support Greater Boston on Patreon at patreon.com/greaterboston.
Things got hard after the anchovies and... Anchovies.
I just zoomed out and I can't see the words, but now I can see them again, so I'll stop singing and I'll do my lines.
Things got hard after the anchovies... Anchovies again. What are anchovies?
And tell him that I understand how difficult it can be to tell the people you cherish that you lost your spot on the page and you ruined a good line delivery.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears. Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a podcast which combines the art and beauty of classic literature with the fun of Dungeons and Dragons roleplay. These episodes are led by me, Kate, your master teacher, which is Dungeon Master meets High School English Teacher. We take on quests in these fascinating worlds, meeting and adventuring with the greatest literary characters of all time, solving puzzles set up by the dubious Dr. Frankenstein.
One eye is over there, and the other eye is rolled over there.
Exactly right.
Hunting Moby Dick alongside Captain Ahab. I've rolled a one.
Oh, you rolled one!
Of Mice and Men and Monsters is a faithful yet irreverent way to interact with the stories which have influenced us for centuries. Plus, it's a much more exciting way to experience literature than writing an essay. Essays don't have swords which burst into flame, or poop monsters hiding in toilets.
Anybody got some poop for me?
A new episode of Mice and Men and Monsters is released every other Wednesday, wherever you listen to podcasts.